you know that? The culture there is, the ethics behind that are, sit back and be thoughtful with some of our highlighted interviews on Moncrief. Now, next year, NASA plans to get a whole lot closer to the sun. The Solar Probe Plus is to get within 4 million miles of our star. Dr. Nicola Fox is lead scientist on the mission, and she's on the line. Good afternoon, Nikki.
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad. Now, I suppose the first question is, obviously, the closer you get to the sun, the hotter it's going to get. How are you going to protect this probe?
Oh, the easy answer is always to say that we're going to go at night. so we have a huge technology advancement that we've had over the last 60 years since the mission was first proposed. You know, great strides forward in materials and general, you know, technology advancements. And so we have this wonderful heat shield that sits out in front of the spacecraft. And the front side of that heat shield is going to be at temperatures of about 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit, about 1,400 degrees centigrade. And all of the instruments and everything that are actually on the spacecraft are going to be working at about room temperature. So we're going to a lot and a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
to make sure that we keep our instruments working.
Because and particularly the electronic part of it, because electronics here can be affected by what happens in the sun.
Yes, that's true. But as I say, we're going to great lengths to make sure we protect everything on the spacecraft. Keeping that heat shield between us and the sun is a big challenge. We're moving at 125 miles a second, so it's a big effort.
So what are the main questions you'd like to find answers to?
So there are questions that have baffled scientists for well over 100 years. One of them is that the hazy atmosphere that you see just above the solar surface, which we call the corona, which you can see during a solar eclipse, that's actually hotter than the surface of the sun. Mm. So the surface of the sun's around 6,000 degrees. When you get out into that corona, it's about 2 million degrees plus. And that just shouldn't happen. It's like water flowing uphill. You know, as you get further away from a source, normally it gets cooler, not hotter. Something happens in this region in the corona that suddenly heats that material up to these millions of degrees. And also in the region where it's heated, it also accelerates all that solar material such that it can actually kind of break away from the hold of the sun, and it gets accelerated extremely fast at millions of miles an hour, and it moves away from the sun, and that's what bathes all of the planets. So when you noted that our electronics can be affected on Earth by things happening from the sun, that's exactly why this material is actually moving away from the sun, and it can, when it reaches our planet, it can impact our technological systems.
And these are so-called solar winds.
Yes, that's what we call the solar wind. It's forever blowing away from the sun. And sometimes if you see on the solar surface, you can often see little dark spots. We call those sunspots. They are extremely active, very, very magnetic. They can kind of explode like, you know, a huge volcano, and they can spew out billions of tons of this solar material moving really, really fast. And when that hits our planet, it really it kind of gives it a smack on the nose. You know, we have this protective magnetic shield. You know, the Earth has a magnetic field, and that actually protects us from a lot of this solar wind. But when it's coming and it's blowing hard and heavy, it will really smack us on the nose. And it causes beautiful aurora, the northern and southern lights. But it can also cause problems for power grids, pipelines, spacecraft, astronauts, airplanes that are flying over the poles. A lot of things can be affected by what comes from the sun.
How regular are those kind of eruptions on the sun?
So the eruptions happen pretty much all the time. The actual solar wind is forever blowing. But, you know, we see these big events. So the really big ones, you may have heard of an event called the Carrington event, which happened in 1859. Mm. And that was the first time that we knew that there was a connection between what was happening on the sun and what was happening on the Earth, because Carrington was sketching his sunspots and he actually saw it erupt. And a few minutes later, it disappeared. But just hours after that, compasses span on Earth and the whole telegraph system, which is kind of the, you know, the Victorian internet, went down and was down for many days. So, you know, we expect to see these really big events about once every 100 years. But just you only have to go back as far as 1989 for the last time we had a major power grid failure when Hydro-Québec in Canada, the entire network went down. You know, 1991, we saw big spacecraft effects, 95, you know, many different aspects. The more technology we have, the more vulnerable we are to what's coming from the sun.
How much advance warning can we give ourselves now?
So we have really nice instruments. We call them coronagraphs because they fly this sort of occulting disk, which blocks out the light of the sun, so they can actually see the corona all the time. And we have some that are sitting out just away from the Earth, looking, staring at the sun, and they're able to tell us when we actually see one of these events. You see a big explosion, and you suddenly see like a huge puff of the solar material moves away. If it's coming towards the Earth, we call it a halo event because the whole event kind of gets bigger and makes a ring around the sun. And the more circular it is, the more it's coming directly towards the Earth. And we see those anywhere. That's probably a 2 to 3 day warning of we've got something coming towards us. But until it reaches our sort of spacecraft, they're kind of like buoys in the ocean. You know, they're out there telling us exactly what the conditions are. They sit about an hour away from the Earth in solar wind time. If it's moving really fast, it can be less than that. It can be 30 minutes, 15 minutes before the actual event's going to see us. So we don't get a huge amount of warning.
How long will it take the probe to get from Earth into the position it wants to get to?
So we're moving very fast, as I noted, about 125 miles a second. So it takes us about 3 months to get from launch into this region of interest. We're in a very highly elliptical orbit, so we go very close to the sun, kind of on one side of our orbit, and then the other side, the furthest away we get is around the orbit of Venus, and we actually use Venus to kind of slow us down just a little bit to enable us to walk gradually into the sun. We have to be moving fast so we don't get pulled into the sun. So if you imagine, it's kind of like surfing on a wave as we go around the sun really fast. But if we just slow ourselves down very gradually, we can walk closer and closer into the sun until we get to just within 4 million miles. And that doesn't sound particularly close, but if you put the Earth and the sun a meter apart, we would be 4 centimeters away from the sun. So it's pretty close.
Yeah, and how long can it stay there for?
Oh, we're a 7-year mission. We're actually doing 24 orbits. So as I noted, we go very close and then we come out again and then we kind of plunge back in to the atmosphere 24 times. So it's just under 7 years for the whole mission.
And over time, over that 7 years, all the shielding that the probe has, will that start to kind of degrade a wee bit?
That is definitely not the plan, I can tell you. The plan is that will be working perfectly even at the end of our 7 years. And actually, the last orbit is very stable, so we can continue in that closest orbit, until we run out of fuel. It's really the fuel that we have to expend. So we have to fire thrusters to kind of keep that heat shield between us and the sun all the time. At some point, probably 9 years after launch, we'll run out of fuel. And at that point, bad things happen. That's when we won't be able to keep the heat shield in the right place anymore. The spacecraft will start to turn. And it's about 450 times the sunlight that you get here on Earth. So if you imagine 450 suns beating down on you, that's what will hit the side of the spacecraft. And unfortunately, that will be the end for us. But that's a long way, well past our prime mission. So.
An extraordinary adventure nonetheless. Nikki, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That's Dr. Nicola Fox from Johns Hopkins APL and lead scientist on the Solar Probe mission. More interviews to make you go on Moncrief weekdays from 2 p.m.